bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be back here on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. My friends, we have a special guest today in the studio, Mr. Dominic Gallardo, who will be joining us in just a moment. And he is an eight-year-old young man about ready to start third grade. He's going to fill us in about what he's been doing throughout the summer and in preparing for third grade. So before we begin, I want to take a moment to thank Dale and Jane Meyer for their support of our show and also for all the great work that they do. And I want to thank Frank Eliason once again for producing our show. And our show today, my friends, is dedicated to all those girls out there who are pregnant or who have newborn babies or children and are doing it all on their own and with no men in their lives. And today we're going to be talking heavily about male responsibility. This is very, very important. And so I want to just take a moment to introduce you to our guest in the audience, Dominic Gallardo. Dominic, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really good.
All right, Dom, and how's your summer going?
It's been good.
All right, and when is your birthday, and how old are you?
I'm 8 years old, and my birthday is November 16th.
Okay, so you're eight. You're going to be nine in November 16th this year. And are you getting ready for school coming up? And what have you done this summer that you've enjoyed?
I've been preparing for school, and what I did for summer was we went to the pool a lot, and I'm going to start playing baseball on September 1st, and my cousin came over, and sometimes I play with her, and we go to the pool a lot, and that's it.
Okay. All right, Dom. Well, I'm glad you had a good summer, and school's about to begin in about 2 weeks, so we wish you well in your third grade semester. And, you know, what can we say? But thank you for coming on the air today, and God bless you. We love you. And this is my grandson, my friend, so it is a privilege and a pleasure to have him on the air. He is a special blessing God has given me and our family, and he brings a lot of love to our family for sure. And so, Dom, we want to thank you for that. And is there anything else you want to say to the audience?
No.
Okay. All right, Dom. Thank you very much for joining us today. Have a great day, and we will talk to you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio. All right? Take care, and God bless. Okay, my friends, we're back here on the air, and that was Dominic Gallardo joining us for just a few moments. And again, our show today, my friends, is dedicated to women out there who are raising children on their own, young women who don't have men who truly are interested to stand by their women. And this is a very big trend that we see in our society today when we talk about out-of-wedlock births, my friends. We see that the white male basically is about 21.9%, you know, in that category where they're not standing by their women and their children are being born, you know, without that support. In the area of non-Hispanic black men, it's as high as 69.3%. With Hispanic men, 41%. And with American Indians, 69%. So this is a very, very important topic, because the reality is that women need support when they're pregnant and they're about to have a child. But if men aren't interested in standing by these women, they truly have to do it on their own. And it's very, very hard. In the talking to some of the women who are going through this challenge, we see that the men that they were involved with, intimate with, and have a child with, are basically, in a position where they're not working hard, and they're either on unemployment, working off the books, not paying taxes, and getting a lot of support from their own families, but they're really not, they're not giving what they need to the young woman who has, carried that baby to term and had that child, and also they're not giving anything to the child. Many of them are neglectful. So I just tell you that we're going to pray for these people out there who really are, in need of necessities and support. We're going to also pray for those men out there who are irresponsible, who don't stand up as men should. And that's what we do in the Wings program, my friend. We try to help to foster, great responsible men who will stand by their women, and they will marry them and join them in building a great future and family life. I mean, this is so important. Because, again, we have a tremendous number of people who are born out of wedlock, and the children are growing up with a great void in their life. And so, this is an important topic of discussion. And with that, we want to highlight the fact that, again, the Wings program has been doing this kind of work for more than 28 years, since December 1993, and helping to provide support and mentorship to kids from single parent homes. That's the why the Wings program was actually created. And I tell you that this is an important time in our nation where we try to fill that void for those kids and try to help them to do it right, to follow God's lead, and to build strong families, not only strong careers, but strong families. And this is a very important message today. And, it takes a lot of humility to raise children and to stand by your women. It takes a lot of humility to go to work and to work hard and to put a check, into a bank account, and to draw from that check and to provide food, clothing, and shelter. And our men have to step up. We really need men to be strong and to stand by their children as God calls us to do. The Lord says, we are to be fruitful and multiply, but we're not to abandon our women. We're supposed to do that in the context of a marriage. And this is why the Wings program really has had a tremendous impact over 28 years on a lot of men. And I just tell you that we're going to continue this work because it's God's calling for us. And we're going to continue it because there's a great need out there where young women are being abandoned, and men are having their way and doing what they want to do and enjoying themselves. But when it comes time to uphold responsibility, they're really coming up empty. And this is truly the case in a lot of families. A lot of grandparents are actually supporting their children who are raising, young children or toddlers, newborns. And they're in a position where they're doing it on their own. So we pray for all those women out there who are in need of support. We pray for them to be strong and to get their lives together and to be careful. And to be careful the kind of decisions they make with regard to engaging in intimate relationships with other men. I always say it's very important to ask good questions when you meet someone, to sit down and ask 100 questions, get to know that person before you lay down with them. You know, it's very important that we, you know, practice chastity and abstinence, and we do it the Lord's way in terms of building a family life. You can't just go out and buy a family like you can a car. It takes years to build a family, and it takes great decision making on behalf of the young women and young men out there. So, you know, we pray for all those young people out there who are in these situations, and that God will provide somebody to help you to make the right decisions each and every day of your lives. Okay. Again, my friends, this is Holy Spirit Radio. We're here at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. And we're going to get right into our readings here today. And the 21st Sunday of Ordinary Time is coming up this weekend. First reading is from the book of Joshua, chapter 24, 1 to 2 and 15 to 17 and verse 18. And here it is. Joshua gathered together all the tribes of Israel and Shechem, summoning their elders, their leaders, their judges, and their officers. When they stood in the ranks before God, Joshua addressed all the people. If it does not please you to serve the Lord, decide today whom you will serve, the gods your fathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose country you are now dwelling. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. But the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord for the service of other gods. For it was the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, out of a state of slavery. He performed those great miracles before our very eyes and protected us along our entire journey and among the peoples through whom we passed. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Joshua, my friends, coming from the Old Testament, this is a powerful reading, and just to clarify the Word of God, which is such a powerful word to the people, Joshua says, if it does not please you to serve the Lord, decide today whom you will serve. The gods your fathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose country you are now dwelling. Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So I pose the question to you and I, my friends, what about you and your house? Who are you serving? Are we serving the Lord, or are we serving ourselves? In serving the Lord, there are special things that you and I can do to help other people, to help our families. But are we serving the Lord? The Lord says, whatever you do for the least of your brothers, you've done it for me. Whatever you have not done for the least of my brothers, you didn't do it for me. And this is powerful because we have an opportunity every day to serve the Lord. And we can choose to avoid that service or engage in it. You know, and it's important that we please the Lord. So what about your house? What are you doing to serve the Lord in your home? Like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So when we talk about our household, we're talking about our spouses, our children, you know, anyone who comes into our home. Are we in service to the Lord? Are we engaged in community service? Or is it all about me and only me? Very important. There's a lot of ways to serve the Lord. And the word goes on to say this: "For it was the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt and out of a state of slavery." What has the Lord brought you out of, my friends? In your life, how has he carried you over the obstacles, the challenges? How have you endured life with and without the Lord? I want you to think about that objectively and go back to the days when it was all about you and you didn't realize that the Lord was walking with you. And today maybe it's a different ball game and you really understand that the Lord carries us through these hardships, these difficult times, whatever they may be. So what has he brought you out of? Has it been addiction? Have you overcome, addiction to drugs and alcohol? Have you overcome sexual addiction? Have you overcome a gambling addiction? Incarceration due to habit patterns conducive for getting arrested. What has the Lord brought you through, my friends? Has he brought you through a divorce? Or has he helped you to get some counseling and get your marriage back on track? What has the Lord brought you and your family through? Has he brought you through a great illness? Have you survived cancer? COVID-19? Have you been in difficult spots as a family and the Lord has carried you through time and time again? If you've ever been through, a tornado which will strike a neighborhood, have you ever been through the loss of a home due to an earthquake? Right now we're praying for the people in Haiti where the earthquake took more than 1,300 people. Think about that, my friends. And there have been many, many earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes and wildfires, things that, truly have taken lives and homes. And people who remain have to get through it. So again, what has the Lord brought you and I out of that we are grateful for? We have an attitude of gratitude. We are thankful. It's great to acknowledge that the Lord brought us through, various trials and tribulations. He may have brought you through a surgery or multiple surgeries, but whatever he has brought you through, my friends, we want to acknowledge it, that the Lord has done it. And like Joshua in the word here from the book of Joshua, he talked about he performed great miracles before our very eyes and protected us along our entire journey. That's what the Lord did for the people, the Israelites. So in your life, how is God taking care of you? Or do you believe that it's all because of your efforts? It's all about you. And that would be an agnostic or an atheistic approach, a viewpoint. I want you to think about that, my friends. How has God protected us along our entire life journey? And there are many, many examples of that. But we want to reflect on that today to give thanks to the Lord for bringing us through those challenging times, because, like the men and women who serve in the armed forces, not everybody gets to come home. Some people don't make it home from the journey. And there's a lot of suffering for the people who remain here. And we want to be thankful that the Lord has brought us through that journey time and time again. And I just tell you that, you know, in my own life, God has brought me through a variety of different things, from, you know, aviation engine failures and fires to falling off a roof 22 feet backwards and doing two somersaults, to many other things. But there are tremendous examples of this in each of our own lives. And it's important to reflect back that God gave us more time. He helped us to grow through it, to gain wisdom, to become better than before. The Lord says the steps of a good man is in order, and we strive to be good men. Very, very important message for the men out there listening today, no matter what age we are. Okay, we're going to move to our second reading now, which is a reading from the book of Ephesians through the words of St. Paul, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 to 32. And here it is. Brothers and sisters, be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives should be subordinate to their husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of his wife, just as Christ is head of the church, he himself the Savior of the body. As the church is subordinate to Christ, so wives should be subordinate to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and hand him over himself to her, to sanctify her, cleansing her by the bath of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So also husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one hates his own flesh, but rather nourishes and cherishes it, even as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak in reverence to Christ and to the church, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And my friends, as we start out in the book of Ephesians through the words of St. Paul, I can see that it takes a lot of humility, my friends, to be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ. But that's what St. Paul has given us. To be subordinate out of reverence to Christ. So if we are subordinate to one another and loving one another, the second greatest commandment, if we are helping one another, building each other up, as it says in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Very powerful, but it takes humility, my friends, to build each other up, to be subordinate out of reverence for Christ. We want to be more reverent for Jesus, Son of God. And he goes on to talk about wives should be subordinate to their husbands as the Lord. For the husband is head of his wife. Just as Christ is head of the church, he himself the Savior of the body. And this can be confusing, my friends, and this can be offensive sometimes to people who don't see the bigger picture. But St. Paul calls wives to be subordinate to the husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of his wife, just as Christ is head of the church, he himself savior of the body. As the church is subordinate to Christ, so wives should be subordinate to their husbands in everything. And there's another side to this that we need to expose, reveal, to understand why it's so important to follow in the words of St. Paul and to live this out so we can build a strong family life where a woman is the heart of the home. Without a heart, a person will die. Without a heart, a home is just a house. There's no love in it. And love comes from the heart. And St. Paul goes on to say, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and handed himself over for her to sanctify her, cleansing her by the bath of water with the word. That's the word of God, my friends. That he might present to himself the church in splendor, without spot, or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So, yes, St. Paul's calling wives to be subordinate to their husbands. This may be difficult to do because of ego and pride. May be difficult to do because of jealousy and envy. But the Lord calls us through the words of St. Paul as husbands to love your wives and to love your wife as you love your own body. If we're not loving our wives, what are we doing each and every day in our homes? Are we making their lives easier or are we making their lives more difficult? Only you know, my friends, in your home, what is the culture in your home? Is it a culture of love? Or is it a culture of money, power, prestige? Are there barriers to communication? If there's enough humility and subordination, basically people will be, you know, in a position where they're offering more in word and action. They're giving more to each other. We are called as husbands to love our wives. And sometimes it's hard to love other people, but that's our calling. God calls us to do it. It's the second greatest commandment, to love one another. And the Lord wants us to build strong families. And I know from aviation in the cockpit, they used to say, you know, the most dangerous crew in an airplane cockpit is when you have two captains, because there's no co-pilot there. And even more dangerous than that would be two instructor pilots. One must be subordinate. One must be a co-pilot at times, where we're working together as a team, giving 100% to take care of safety of flight, our passengers, our crew, our airplanes. And the same thing applies to the home, that the husband is head of the home and the wife is the heart of the home. And together they work to build a strong family, a bright and promising future. And it's only temporary because we know that we all pass on someday. But during those years where we do have opportunities to love each other as husbands and wives in those homes, in our homes, we want to give 100% and not come up short. Once again, are we making our lives for each other easier or more difficult? Am I concerned about the welfare of my wife or my husband? Or is it all about me? God's calling us again, he says, to be subordinate to one another out of reverence to Christ. We want to build our homes with God in them. We want to build our lives with God within them. It's very important, but it takes humility to bring God in and to look at him as number one and to ourselves as number two. We don't want anything less than that. We've got to submit to the Lord. And as husbands and wives, we've got to do the same. It's not really a 50-50 deal when you get married. It's 100%. 100%. If you want it to work out, it requires quality time. It requires love. And sometimes even tough love. But this is family life, which can be difficult. But my friends, these are the words of St. Paul, who wrote 13 books of the Bible. And it's important. And in the book of Ephesians here today, St. Paul talks about husbands, again, loving your wives, even as Christ loved the church and handed it himself over for her to sanctify her, to sanctify the church, to cleanse the church by the bath of water with the word of God, cleansing the church, the Catholic Church, cleansing it with the word of God, that he might be present to himself, the church. He might present the church in splendor, without spot, or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. And we know the church has suffered a great deal, but that's the way it's been since the beginning of time in Christianity, because men will make mistakes. Yes, men will make mistakes out of jealousy, envy, selfishness, greed, territorialism. And when men make mistakes, they create credibility issues for our church. Okay, whether it be the laity or the clergy, it's important that we cleanse the church, sanctify her with the word of God. And St. Paul tells us that. That's why the word is so important, to listen to the word and to live it out, to utilize the word to cleanse the church, to cleanse our homes, to cleanse our minds, our bodies, to cleanse our lives. God's calling us to use the holy word of God to be spotless, both inside and outside the church. That's why the focus must be on the word of God. God calls us to do it through St. Paul, who had a tremendous conversion. The goal is that the church will be holy and without blemish. And once again, we know that there are many blemishes that have occurred. But that's in every church, because men will make mistakes, both in Christian denominations and in the Catholic Church. We have to call it straight, my friends, because we need higher standards and 100% accountability, so that our parishioners, the flock itself, feel safe, feel good, that their children are okay, that they're being led by leaders with humility, who are truly reverencing Christ in everything they do. The Lord was a servant to all of us. We too have to serve and not sit up there on the high thrones telling people what to do, but we've got to be in the trenches to make good things happen each and every day. Our goal as lay people, even as priests and deacons and bishops, is to do everything we can to protect the credibility of our church by proceeding honestly and forthright with love and the Word of God, delivered with that great love that God has given us. Because there's nothing more powerful in the world than the love of God. And when we intertwine it with the Word of God and the peace of God, it's life-changing. And St. Paul is a wonderful example of that. We're about half past the hour, my friends, and you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. This is Joe Montone, your host. We're here at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. I just want to remind our listening audience that today's show was dedicated to all those women out there who are pregnant and had an unplanned pregnancy, who are raising children, newborns, toddlers, young children on their own with no man by their side. It's important, my friends, to get the message out that men have to be more responsible. They have to be better husbands and fathers and better sons. They have to develop a great work ethic to provide necessities for their children. And this is a very, very important message for young women out there who are getting involved with irresponsible men for the moment, intimate relationships for the moment, and then being left with heavy responsibility in raising children, bearing children, raising children, multiple children. We want our men to stand up strong and to be good men. It is the calling by our Lord Jesus Christ. Very important. And as it says in the book of Ephesians, through the words of St. Paul, so also husbands should love their wives as they love their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one hates his own flesh, but rather nourishes it and cherishes it. And so, before marriage can take place, we see young people engaging in intimate relationships, setting themselves up sometimes for hard decisions and difficult situations. But God calls us, again, to marriage. It is our calling. He says it's not good for man to be alone, but he does want you to be fruitful and multiply in the context of a marriage. He wants us to build strong marriages, set a good example for our children, and we want to commit to those women out there who have taken it upon themselves in that great decision to bear a child for that young man. Want to realize how special that really is, and make a commitment to that young woman out there, and to not just let her go, because it's going to be hard work in going through the process of having a child and then delivering a child and raising a child and giving that child all the necessities that God calls us to provide. My friends out there, if you're out there now and you're a man between the ages of 16 and 30, I want you to take ownership. This is your manhood, your captainship. Let's get strong and do the right things for women out there. Let's not just neglect these women or abuse these women. Let's do everything we can to comfort them and to support them. And God calls us to do it, to be good men. And we have to uphold that calling. The Lord once again says, the steps of a good man is in order. And when the Lord gives us an order, we as men have to follow it. This is not something we can choose not to do. And we all understand good from bad. We can see it clearly. And neglecting young women who are pregnant or have had a child and leaving them by themselves is one of the most selfish things a young man can do. So let's get real and let's get started in upholding the Lord's message, which is to be good men. And that order is, again, not something we can choose not to do. When we talk about the book of Ephesians, once again, the Lord mentions in this area, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And this is the great marriage message here, the traditional marriage and family life. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. It's a beautiful thing, becoming one flesh, where you're like-minded, you're making each other's life easier, you actually care so much about that person, and you love him or her, and you want to do everything you can to make their life easier on a daily basis. And there's no check in the world that's large enough to replace quality time in a home as a husband and wife should spend. You've got to be there. You got to show up for the game. Sometimes you have to put the golf clubs away or cancel a night out with the boys or take a day off from work and support your wife or your husband. Sometimes you've got to do the right thing for each other because you've had too much stress and it's now time to bond once again. And God has given us those opportunities, my friends. We have to make great decisions and to not be selfish and to go out there with the boys and just go hunting or fishing. There's a time for that, but let's get our homes in order and make sure that our wives and our husbands are in good shape and they're not being neglected because of boyfriends or girlfriends and because of children's activities. Let's do everything we can to take care of our marriages and our home life. And when that's in place, we can do what Joshua talked about doing. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So when you have that kind of commitment to each other, you can focus on service for the Lord. You can focus on that beautiful service and set up a home where you're like a role model for your children. And they're learning how to serve one another with humility, how to care for one another. Mother Teresa said the greatest disease in the world was a lack of love. And sometimes in people's homes, there is a genuine lack of love. There may even be hostility. There may be territorialism or jealousy. And there's everything but love going on, and these people are married. They are a family. The other day I was watching a tremendous documentary on a young man who was the son of a beautiful husband and wife. The husband had built a great Piper dealership out in the West Coast, an aviation business, and did very, very well for many years. And this young man also had a sister. So they were a family of four. And during his high school years, he was very blessed with having successful parents, affluent parents, wonderful people who gave him basically everything that he wanted. And he was not satisfied with that. He wanted more. And he wanted to take on the actual persona of his father. He wanted people to believe that he was the successful person that his father was. When in doubt, he was only 16, 17 years old and hadn't achieved anything in business yet or investments. But he tried to convince his friends and people in his high school that he was another person. By dressing a certain way and speaking a certain way. And he certainly was a talented young man, but he had one thing that really took him down, and that was greed. And this young man, because he was supposed to inherit all that his parents had, and the only thing in the way of that were his parents and his sister. And before high school ended, he took the lives of his mother and his father and his sister. And thank God for the FBI, who did a long-term investigation and did it well. And they proved that this young man killed his parents out of greed. And can you imagine the world we're living in today, where a young man, 17, 18, takes the lives of his mother, his father, and his sister, because he wanted all of the money that his parents had. He wanted the lifestyle without working for it. He didn't want to do the work. He became a killer, a criminal, and took the lives of his own family. How does a person get to that point, my friends, where they are willing to do anything, including killing their parents, because of money and assets, material things? And the Lord says this in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. Well, there are consequences for these things. And that young man went to prison. And this is important, because the culture we're living in today wants things fast. They're not willing to do the work. In fact, we see people getting paid not to work. Okay, a very, very tremendous negative message about work ethic. And I just tell you that we in the Wings program, we work hard to provide for our families. We work hard to provide necessities for all who need it, especially our children. We work hard to get our homes in order before we go out and try to help people in their homes, so that we don't have chaos in our home, but we set an example, a good example for how things should be. And when we leave to help other people, our lives are in order, and we have peace of mind, and we can share that peace with other people. So we not only bring the necessities that people need, but also the peace of God, the love of God, and the Word of God, which is so important. And this is a great message, my friends, that we have to acknowledge today, of traditional marriage and family life, and how to do it right, and how to get those families secure for decades and generations so we can set good examples for our children and grandchildren to come. Let's move forward now, my friends, to our gospel reading, which is from the book of John, chapter 6, verses 60 to 69. And here it is. Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life, and no one longer accompanied him. Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel readings today, my friends, the Gospel of John, the Lord talks about a hard saying, and the people say, "Who can accept it?" And there are things in the gospel readings and in the Word of God that are hard to accept. But my friends, we have high standards set forth by our Lord and God. We don't want a society with no standards, with no laws. We want a society with high standards, where people are upholding those standards, setting good examples for other people, including their own children. And this is a great message in the Gospel of John today, my friends, as we look into the gospel. The Lord says, because of these hard sayings, as a result, many of his disciples returned to their former ways and no longer accompanied him. So the disciples, the followers of Jesus, the thousands, many of them left and went on their way and decided this is not something they want to continue with. So I want you to think about that, because the Lord is calling us to make a decision. And we have to be clear. There will be tough things, you know, for all of us. For the criminals out there, the lifestyle is hard to leave. Do not steal, the commandments say. But for some people, that's the only thing they want to do on a daily basis. They want to take from other people and make it theirs. For other people who are involved in extramarital relationships, adultery. The Lord says, do not commit adultery. Very important. These are hard things, because for some of us, we're vulnerable, we're weak, both men and women. And it just takes a moment to cross that line. We've got to be careful. But as the word says, because of the tough times, the hard sayings, many of his disciples returned to the former way. So I pose the question, what is your former way, my friends? And have you totally put that away, put it to bed, and have moved forward into a true disciple? And in the word of Matthew, the Lord talks about the true disciple is the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. That's the only way we can be a true disciple, a true follower of Jesus, is to do the will of God the Father. And we are called to do that. We cannot go back to our former ways. We must figure out how to make changes, how to come on board with the Lord's way of doing things, how to accept it. Whatever it is, what is your greatest challenge or your most vulnerable area that you have not been able to overcome? Are you one of the disciples, the followers of Jesus, who have returned to their former ways and no longer accompany Jesus? Are you there? Only you would know that. Other than God, of course. I want you to think of this objectively, my friends, because we are called to accept the Word of God. And we can't pick and choose the words that we want to accept and the words that we don't. The Word of God is firm. We're not to change it, not even one word. We're not to add to it or subtract from it. God calls us to adhere to it, to live it out, one scripture at a time. And it is difficult because we're human beings. We're weak. We're all weak. We all have limitations, breaking points, temptations, vulnerable areas, weaknesses. Oh, sure, many of us put on a good front, a strong front, but in reality, there are weaknesses. And only you and the Lord know what that is for you and for me. But my friends, this is a great calling today to support the Word of God, which in our readings today heavily supports traditional marriage and family life. At a time when our culture is really plagued with divorce, and out of wedlock births, and people living together, we need to do it right in the eyes of the Lord. We need to listen to the words of St. Paul and to the Gospel of John. We need to listen to Joshua and the Old Testament. These are heavyweights in the Old and New Testament who God has spoken through to give us a message, to give us some guidance and direction, to give us some hope and vision. But we've got to listen and listen well. We've got to pay attention so that we don't miss the message and end up in a bad situation. This is our calling. My friends, that's our show for today. I want to thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed our program. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. And may God bless you and keep you, and may He bless your children and the intentions within your heart. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great day. God bless. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio. God bless.